Welcome to the Golf Better Podcast. I'm your host, Derek Dominski. This episode of the Golf Better Podcast is brought to you by GolfBetterTucson.com. Be sure to check out our site and follow Golf Better Tucson on Instagram and all other social media. Today we are grateful to have Florida Gators men's golf coach, JC Deacon, on the podcast. Coming off two straight victories, the Gators men's golf team is becoming a force again in the collegiate realm. I'm sure he would defer, but a lot of it has to do with their awesome coach. Players love him, and all I have heard is great things about him and how he runs the program. We get a chance today to talk about his career path, this Gators team, and some of the ins and outs of the recruiting process. Enjoy. All right, Coach JC Deacon, welcome to the podcast.
What's up?
Hey, thanks so much for coming on. So for those that don't know you, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into coaching college golf.
Well, born and raised in Toronto, Canada, and I guess probably about the furthest thing that I ever thought I'd be doing is coaching golf when I was young. Big into hockey. Main life probably until about 13 or 14 years old. And I always played golf with my older brother and dad, but it was never the main focus in my life until I started having a little bit more success, probably 12, 13, 14 years old, and fell in love with the game and loved practicing. And the warm Canadian summers just was out there at the golf course all day, every day. And that led me to Coach Dwayne Knight. And I played college golf for him at UNLV and just absolutely loved it and got better and wanted to try and play on the PGA Tour. So played professional golf for about 4 years and loved every minute of it. It was awesome pursuing that lifelong dream. And I wish I would have known some of the stuff I do now. Looking back, I just probably didn't go about it the right way and maybe didn't get as much help as I probably should have, but didn't make it, and it's all for a reason. But Coach Knight called me out of the blue and offered me his assistant coach job, and we had always stayed really, really close. So ended up going back out there to UNLV and literally fell in love with college coaching about 2 weeks into the job. I really realized this is something I'd probably want to do for a long time, and ended up here at Florida, kind of in my dream job. So it's been a neat little run.
Yeah, that's awesome. So now with your ability to play and in your experience, how do you feel like that can help the teams you coach? Do you use that experience to your advantage?
Yeah, for sure. I think, just understanding how hard the game is and how difficult it can be sometimes, how frustrated you get while you play, how good it feels when it is successful. All those emotions are really hard to understand if you haven't really been there and done that. And, I look back on especially on my college and professional career and realize all the mistakes I was making and how much better I could have done it. And I think that's really helped me through my mistakes, help my guys hopefully not do the same thing. So I still love playing. I play in the state open pretty much every year and try to compete whenever I can. And I think it's, Mike Small at Illinois always encouraged me to stay competitive and stay sharp with my game, because I think it helps you be empathetic to your players. And it's easy as a coach to sit back, you're in a cart or walking with the guys and the game seems so easy. But when you get back, between the ropes and start competing again, you remember how difficult it can be.
Yeah, and a quick question with your hockey background. So do you play right-handed or left-handed in golf? And then is that the same in hockey?
Great question, because there's a ton of, I think, per capita, it's like the most left-handed golfers in the world come from Canada, but I'm actually right-handed, play hockey right-handed and golf right-handed. So I think that helped me when I was a little younger to have a little bit more power than maybe some of my playing competitors.
Interesting. Yeah. 'Cause I grew up in a hockey area in Minnesota myself.
And yeah, exactly.
I played hockey. It was interesting. I played hockey. It made only sense for me to play hockey left-handed, but then I swing right-handed. So it's just kind of unique. I know some people just don't always have the exact same hockey motion and golf motion, but that's cool. Our hockey players at our school, we're all really natural good golfers. It's very some similar skill sets needed. So I think that's quite cool.
Yeah, now, there's a lot of like NHL players who are really, really good amateur golfers just from having that hand-eye coordination and that, you know, same kind of motion.
Exactly. And that's just something that if you develop it, you know, as a young kid and you're used to doing it, you're just, you know, used to whacking something with something, and that you just can't put a price on doing that, you know, since your youth.
100%.
Now, you've got an awesome team assembled. You're coming off two straight victories. Tell us a little bit about what makes this Florida Gators team so special.
Yeah, I definitely have to say it's a really, really special team. I'm not sure I've ever had this much fun coaching. They're just incredibly hardworking. We've got 13 just great kids who have awesome attitudes. Like I said, are working super hard and just make it really fun to come to work every day. And it certainly hasn't felt like work other than the COVID parts of it this year. But no, just, you know, everyone has a goal of playing on the PGA Tour on our team. And so, I think the success we're having right now is just kind of a byproduct of them working super hard and chasing their long-term goals. And it's been nice to string a couple wins together, because it's really, really difficult to win at this level. Just awesome group of guys, super, super competitive, and hopefully we can keep this going.
Now, when the team is playing, are you on the golf course? Are you following certain players? Are you in and out? What does that process look for you? Do you have any consistencies there, or is it kind of as needed?
I think it's as needed. At certain points in my career, I've walked with an individual player for all 18 holes for every shot. Just depending on where they're at, whether, you know, if they're struggling with course management or, you know, different things like that, you want to spend a little bit more time with them and help them talk through decisions and stuff like that. But recently with this team, everyone's been super competitive and playing really consistently and solid. So we want them to be out there on their own and making their own mistakes and having success on their own too, so that it really helps build confidence. So Coach Leon has kind of been taking the par threes and making sure that, you know, whether it's uphill or downhill or the different things that are happening on the par threes, he's been really helping the guys pick the right clubs and stuff like that. And then I've been spending a lot of my time on the par fives, and I just, obviously the par fives, if you look at the PGA Tour or college golf, even it's so important to scoring, making birdies and eagles, and no more than par on par fives is just so vital. So spent a lot of time in the fairway on par fives, kind of talking through the decisions with the guys and how to put ourselves in the best position to make a four and hopefully a couple threes along the way. But it changes a lot. And, you know, I've really been making a candid effort to not look at the scores this year. So I'm just trying to read body language and watch the shots that are there in the moment and just kind of pivot from there. So all over the place, just trying to help the team in any small way that I can.
Now, with having, I think you said 13 players, what does the qualifying process look like? Is there any consistencies in qualifying rounds, or if, you know, a player does plays a certain way that they're kind of in for the next event? What does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I played for Coach Knight, and he modeled his qualifying on Monday qualifying, which kind of defined his career. He had a bunch of years on the PGA Tour where he had to Monday qualify a lot. So he wanted to base his program off that. And I always really liked that. So we had two spots available every week, no matter what, no matter how well the team was doing, no matter how many shots they were winning a tournament by. When you came home, there was two spots available to qualify for. So I've kind of taken that, and I think, you know, if you look at it in the big picture, 13 guys for two spots is literally the best odds you'll ever have as a professional golfer. You know, you see, I don't know, you probably noticed at the Phoenix Open a couple weeks ago, there was like five pre-qualifier sites, let alone a Monday qualifier site. So I think sometimes these guys, you know, they look at our qualifier and you got to play against Ricky Castillo and Yushin Lin and Joe Pagden and Tyler Wilkes and some of these guys who are really highly touted players, and they think it's tough. Well, you get to the next level and it's those guys times 100 that you got to try and beat. So we try and model it after what they're going to see when they leave the University of Florida. So two spots available most of the time, and you certainly earn your exemptions and earn your tournament time through playing well on the road. Qualifying is definitely one part of it and a big part of the way that you can earn your spot in the lineup. But in the end of the day, you know, the guys are going to earn their spot, and we're going to earn our results and our respect from playing well on the road. So that's the number one thing is everything that we're doing is trying to get these guys to improve, but to play well when the tournaments come around.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, another part of your job as a coach is the recruiting process. If you want to go ahead and talk a little bit about what are some things that you look for in players, how early does the process begin, you know, starting to look at players? What does that look like from a college coach perspective?
Yeah, so I think the NCAA did a really smart thing. It's probably a year ago, maybe a little bit more. But we are no longer allowed to communicate with any high school prospect before June 15th after their sophomore year. So until June 15th after their sophomore year, they're not allowed to contact us and we're not allowed to contact them. And I think that was a really good decision. You know, we've benefited from it. Joe Pagden, who I mentioned earlier, he was committed to the University of Florida as an eighth grader, Ricky Castillo as a ninth grader. So we've had some really young guys that have panned out and it's worked out well. But I think at the same time, these kids change so much from age 13 or 14 till age 17. And they're in a much better place, I think, to make a good decision for them and their family at the age of 16 or 17. But when June 15th rolls around, we kind of have a prospect pool that we're looking at, and hopefully the ones that we're looking at and interested in or interested in us the other way. And then, you know, it just kind of happens organically, and the conversations begin. And I think fit's a big thing for us. I it's one thing I've learned through my 7 years as a head coach and I guess 10 years now as a college coach is, you know, the personality and the character of the kid has to match me, and it's got to match our program and our university, because you know, you're spending so much time with these guys, and I, like I said earlier, it just doesn't feel like a job to me. I love it, love what I do. And so I'm, you know, talking to my guys 24/7 most of the time about their game, about their families, about school, whatever it happens to be. So it really helps when the personalities match and you really want, you know, I really want the kid to be here and they really want to be at the University of Florida. So fit's a big thing, and, you know, fitting in with our culture and our team is big. And so there's a lot that goes into it, certainly. It used to be just, you know, who's shooting the lowest score and who's the best player. And now, you know, that I think that's changed a lot for me. It's a lot more about who's going to be the best fit for the University of Florida.
Now, if I am a player looking to play college golf, what would be some tips you could give me on, you know, tournaments I should play, things I should do? Do I reach out? Am I making videos? So what are some things that you would recommend that for kids that are looking to play college golf, what are some things that they should do?
Well, I think the most important thing is if you want to play Division I golf, you need to be breaking par. And I think there's just no way around that. You know, any Division One coach, I think, is going to want to see a player have the ability to break par in a golf tournament. So that's going to be the first step, is let's go work hard. Let's go find help. Let's go find a teacher, whoever it happens to be, to get me to a point where I'm breaking par consistently. And when you start doing that, there's so many great college golf coaches who take so much pride in their programs and do such a great job that if you're putting up the scores and shooting the numbers, someone's going to find you. I can promise you. There's so many guys working hard now. And so, you know, the next step is just finding tournaments. Could be local, could be national, you know, AJGA, whatever it happens to be, state, junior. If you're putting up rounds in the 60s consistently, you're going to have a lot of people beating down your door. So I think it gets lost sometimes that, you know, there's one way to do it or another way to do it. I think just having good golf scores and playing well in tournaments and then doing really well in school. Because if your test scores, your ACT or your SAT are really high and your GPA is really high, now you've opened the door to every school in the country. Because if your grades aren't good, it's tough for a coach to take, you know, it tells a lot about you. And some, I get it. I wasn't a great student and I had to work really hard in school to get my grades. And some people aren't quite as gifted in the classroom, but, when you're doing well, it tells a lot about you. It tells me you got pride in your score and the result that you're putting beside your name. And it tells me that you're organized and it tells me that you probably work hard if you're doing well in school. So I just think don't take that for granted. The better your grades are, the more options you're going to have. And then again, like I was saying before, if, you know, if you can consistently post under par scores in tournaments, I don't care if it's 71 or 65, just keep posting par or under par rounds. Coaches are going to find you and you'll have a lot of opportunities. There's so many great programs out there and you don't need to go to a University of Florida or a University of Texas to play on the PGA Tour. There's lots of avenues to it. Just I do know you have to work hard and sacrifice a lot of things to get there, because the players playing out on tour these days are just unbelievably good.
I was talking to Boyd on the last season of the podcast, Boyd Summerhays.
Yep.
And we talked a little bit about, you know, that certain tournaments are ranked certain things, and there's a bunch of kids that I talk to and teach, and they say, well, I don't want to play that tournament because it's rated this. And me and Boyd are a little bit talking like, hey, you need to learn how to win events. You need to post scores. Like, where do you come in as far as, you know, what the tournament's ranked versus a long-term building, I guess you could say?
I just could not agree with you guys more. I really think that is missed this day and age. Winning in golf is such an amazing thing to do for your progress. And the situations you have to be in to win, whether it's holding an overnight lead going into the final round, holding a lead with 9 holes to go, holding a lead with 3 holes to go, all those different feelings that you have to experience and then conquer to get to the finish line and hold the trophy are just so valuable. And I don't care if you're winning by 15, can you keep the pedal down and win by 20 the next day? There's so many great things that come with winning. And I think everyone's always so eager to go to the next level, whether it's a 13-year-old junior wanting to play in these big AJGAs or, you know, a 16-year-old junior wanting to play now in amateur events instead of playing in junior events. I don't understand it. And, you know, I think Earl Woods set the absolute blueprint for how to develop a junior golfer. I know hindsight's easy now. Tiger's, you know, arguably the greatest of all time. But he won so much and I know he was good, but Earl always had him winning and it didn't matter what tournament, Tiger was collecting trophies. And I think the confidence that comes with winning and people telling you how good you are and you kind of cementing that in your own mind is so important. And I see so many junior golfers trying to take the next level. And then even college golfers who haven't won that much in college turning pro, I just don't understand that. And I just think you need to win in this game over and over and over and over again to really solidify the mental strength that you're going to need to have a great career out on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I love that. No, I couldn't agree more either. I hear kids and like, well, you know, if I only place this well, I only get so many points and this and that. And I just think, you know, if your goal is to play on the PGA Tour, like, you just need to play and win. Like, yeah. If this event's gonna hold you back, like, this ain't gonna hold you back from the PGA Tour. So learning to win, I couldn't agree more. It was interesting though to hear that from a college coach. So I love that. So all you listeners out there, again, play a bunch, play a ton of tournaments, get comfortable, learn to win, even if it's a small field. Just, it sounds like we both agree that is such an advantage for you rather than just picking and choosing events.
100%. I do not care if it's your club championship. And I know that's not going to get you maybe a college golf scholarship, but it's going to get you a lot of self-belief.
Mm-hmm.
And it validates confidence. And I think, you know, if you win, then you can, you know, you start stepping it up and maybe play a little bit bigger tournament or a little bit more difficult competition, but just keep winning, keep putting yourself in a position in a golf tournament where you can compete. Because I see these young 14, 15 year olds that are trying to go up and play against college kids in amateur tournaments. And they get rattled. And it's tough. And I think you look at Akshay right now, Bhatia, who's he's just starting to really make his mark on the PGA Tour. I think he shot 64 in the first round at Pebble Beach last week and hit 18 greens in regulation, which is so impressive. But it's taken him about 2 years to get to this spot when I think, you know, if Akshay had put a little bit more time into school and gone to a university and won, he's good enough to win. He's got a fantastic golf game. He's just a great player. And, you know, and come into college and won 4, 5, 6 times and really dominated. I think he could have taken that winning mindset with him and maybe had a little more instant success like a Matthew Wolf or Colin Morikawa. But, you know, Akshay's a great player, and I think we're all kind of got our eye on him watching how it's all going to pan out.
Awesome. Now, what does the Florida men's golf schedule look like coming up? What's on your guys' schedule? Where are you guys going to next? And what is, what's the plan from here?
So we leave next week for LSU. Louisiana State's hosting a tournament on their university course, which is going to be really interesting. The last time I was in Baton Rouge, I was actually taking my own college visit. I went and visited that school for one of my 5 officials. So I'm looking forward to getting back there and taking this team with us. LSU's got a Chuck Winstead runs a great program. They got a really good team this year, so it'll be tough to run with those boys down there. So we got to be prepared and be ready to fire. And then we'll have about 2 weeks off and we'll go to Auburn and play a similar tournament there against most of the SEC teams. And then we'll have 2 more weeks off after that. And we got a really cool event to finish the regular season at Colusa Pines Golf Club down in Naples, which is if the listeners haven't been there, it's one of the best golf courses in Florida, super firm and fast. Great greens. Luckily enough, our volunteer assistant coach and legendary PGA Tour player Dudley Hart, he's a member down there, and kind of got us hooked up in the event. So there's 8 teams playing, very very competitive field. So it'll be a great test for us and a good course to play leading into Sea Island for the SEC Championship, which is late April, and then you roll into May and you got NCAA regionals. And then hopefully if we can qualify for it, the national championship out near you at Greyhawk.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be great. That's you guys have got an awesome team. If any of the listeners want to follow you or follow the men's golf program, what's the best way to keep in touch with you guys?
So you got Gators Men's Golf on Instagram. Instagram's huge these days. We love it and love, you know, getting all the publicity out there about our guys. So you got Gators Men's Golf on Instagram. My handle is RealJCDeacon. You can follow me too. Mine's a little bit more about my family, but there's lots of content on there about our guys and try and give you an inside look. And then Mark Leon, who's my assistant coach, he I think his handle's Canadian American or something like that. And Mark does a great job. He does a lot of Instagram stories and Instagram live from our qualifying. So you can get some kind of insight on what our qualifying looks like, what our courses look like, and what kind of scores you might need to qualify for a team like the Florida Gators. So it's we try and have a lot of fun with our social media, and it is our program's been a ton of fun. Like I said earlier, we got some great guys, and it's just, I'm so eager to wake up every day and get to work with them. Just it's a dream come true this year, and I'm super excited to see where we can take it.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for your time and insight. We appreciate you having on the podcast. Best of luck to you, and best of luck to the Gators this season.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and keep those backspinning chips coming. I think all of us are really enjoying them, and you've got, as we say back in Canada, you've got some filthy mitts on you, so keep it going.
All right, thanks so much, Coach.
Okay, cheers.
Thanks so much to Coach Deacon for coming on the podcast. It's easy to see why he is so well liked and respected as a coach, and why great young players across the world are trying to play golf for the University of Florida. If you know any junior golfers looking to play college golf, share this episode of the podcast with them. I would also highly recommend checking out last season's two-part series with Boyd Summerhays, which episodes still to this day I'm getting reached out to about. Thanks so much for all the messages and support for the podcast. Remember to subscribe, share, and leave a review on your podcast platform of choice. That really helps us out. Until next time.